Welcome, everyone. This is Pulling on Heaven 24/7 podcast, and we believe exactly that. The kingdom of God is so close to you. It's as though it were draped around your shoulder, and God has put it in your hands. And he said, whatever you release from the earth is released from the heavens, and whatever we bind on the earth is bound in the heavens. And we believe God's word is yes, and in him, amen. And I'm here with Steve today, and I'm told that we're going to do something different. Yes. So I'm not sure what that is. So what is it?
Well, in response to the overwhelming millions of emails we've been getting, just kidding. No, we thought we'd change things up. You are known, at least by some of us who love you, is someone with just some amazing quotes.
Couple of people. Most of them in this room.
You have a way of coming up with these very intriguing statements that I think are profound as themselves, but I think they're kind of, you know, Jesus did that too. He would say these parables that kind of bait you to go, well, what's this really all about? Yeah. And I think there's some statements, and Jonathan's compiled some, and I know we've all talked about some different things that have impacted. And I know that some people will listen and scratch their heads, like, what did he mean by that? Especially if they're not someone who regularly listens to sermons or anything like that. So we thought it'd be fun to just kind of like shotgun you with a few of these quotes. I'm not checking my text right now. I have Jonathan sent me a list of some quotes that we're gonna put you on the spot.
All right. How far back?
You're on the hot seat. Yes. How far back does it go? Okay. In third grade, you said this in Mrs. Johnson's class. What did you mean by that?
Oh. Okay, so if I scratch my head, can we edit it?
Yes. All right. You have ultimate editorial control over any of these.
So. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Go
okay,
ahead.
so okay, here we go. So I'm actually going to jump down a little bit lower. I know this is last week we were talking about some things that had to do with fruitfulness and about prophetic words and faith. And here's a quote that I think kind of ties back into that. So I'll start that since that's kind of fresh in our recent discussions. It's just simply you said, it's not what faith brings us, it's where faith takes us that counts.
Oh yeah. Well, that ties into exactly what we've been talking about. When we think about faith, it's pretty common to think about what we're going to get out of it. You know, I have faith for a thing, instead of identifying not where what faith is bringing me, but where is my faith taking me? You know, it's taking me on a journey. It's taking me on a vacation, as it were. It's teaching me to rest in the Word of God, to be confident what God has said He's bringing to pass. So it's really not about what faith brings us, as in a collective list of things, you know, that we've written down. God, do this, and God does that, kind of that wish list that we have, or to-do list for God. Here's my list, God, and if you can fulfill this. It's really about when we're believing God for something, where faith takes us. We can so minimize the impact and the value of just believing God for whatever it is. And looking at something we're believing God for, it could be something really important, your health, or it could be a better job, or you know, a relationship, or just something you want to happen. Physically, you need a new car, you need your bills paid, whatever. And those are important things, of course, but God takes care of His people. He does. But where faith takes you on that journey of believing God is usually a lot bigger than what we actually think our faith is about. You know, it's not just about getting that, I have an old broken car, you may be saying, and I really, really need a new one. And it's important. And you're believing God, and it hasn't come yet. But it's that moment of believing, that time that you're believing, that's taking you on a journey, showing you things that are not related to the car at all. And really minimize the need for a car once you realize all that faith has done in that journey of you believing God for whatever it is. It's not about the thing, it's about the faith. And it's like David, you know, he overcame Goliath. And I say all the time, it's not that David fought well, it's that David learned to believe well. Yeah. And that made him king. It gave him power and authority that he didn't really realize he had, but God had put it in him all along. So it is with that. It's not about what faith brings us. It's where faith takes us. That's really, really important.
Oh, that's so good. I love the quote of David, wasn't victorious because he fought well. He believed well.
He believed well.
I ripped that off from you and used it in One Night with the King.
Oh, I love that. See, I was part of the script.
That's right. You absolutely were. You deserve writing credit. Actually, a lot of quotes in that script, by the way.
Oh, and when do the residuals come in?
Yeah, as soon as I get some, I'll pass them on. by the way, I forgot to tell you, this is we're calling this session, we're calling this Quote Fest 5000 session one. So if the title is any indication, there's a lot more quotes to come down the road.
And who Steve is actually looking at right now is Jonathan over there, that's has this big grin on his face, like, let's get one of those that he has to go scratch his head and go, oh yes, I remember. All right, go ahead.
Okay, here's the next one. The offering God wants is the offering you are.
Oh yeah. You know, a lot of time God says, come before me, bring an offering and worship me. And a lot of times people have the attitude, they immediately gravitate towards the idea of how much money you can bring or how much you're supposed to bring, or, you know, is this something, you know, this is a tangible thing. And of course, we bring our offerings, we worship God, we honor the Lord with our increase and what God blesses us with. And it's seed. I say all the time, sow a seed in the soil of the word you received and see what God will do. You don't even have to believe him. God, you're going to do. Just do what he says. And like he said, you sow the seed and God does wonders. But it's more than that. The offering that God's really looking for is the offering you are, whoever you are. God's saying, present yourself. Paul said, present yourself. I beseech you by the mercies of God. You present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now, that's saying a lot, because it's not saying I'm coming before the Lord with who and what I am. Because it's not really the who and what you think you are, it's who Christ has made you to be. So what that's really saying is God wants you. He wants you to be the offering. Surrender yourself to the heart, the mind, the will of God. Bring yourself before the Lord, not I'm worthy, I'm unworthy, but God, who you are in me, that's who I am in you. And I bring myself, I surrender myself to your will, to your word, to your wisdom. The offering God really wants is the offering you are, and that's your heart. And when your heart is in it, everything else that God wants you to do, you will do by the nurturing nature of that's who you are.
Yeah.
I'm an offering before the Lord. I present myself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and that's my reasonable service. Literally means that's my worship. I worship the Lord with the offering that I am. Here I am, Lord. Not my will, your will be done.
That it's similar. You just bring in worship into it. Makes me think of another quote that you said that was always very impactful to me, and I think I may have even mentioned it on a previous podcast, but you similarly said...
If the quote's not on my list, you can't list it.
I am going there. Especially because it goes right against your office. So the other thing, a similar quote is your will is your worship.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the most valuable thing to anyone, for the most part, is their will. Regardless of where that will, what it genders into, you know, my will is that, you know, everyone loves me, or my will is that I'm approved, or my will is that I'm accomplished, or whatever your will is, that's our greatest treasure, is our will. And that's why the word says surrender yourself to the will of God, to the mighty hand of God. Mm-hmm. And the value of who we are, we typically consider, you know, we think we know what's best for us, what we really need, and what will really make us happy. And when you take that, the treasure of your will, and you make it an offering, that's a real sacrifice. That's valuable to us. And that's why the word teaches us to surrender ourselves. Repent doesn't mean you're just repent of all the bad things you've done. It literally means, hey, bring yourself, make yourself an offering by saying, God, not my will, your will be done. Do your wonder in me.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's see. Next up. When doing right seems too hard, you're doing right wrong.
What does that mean?
That's almost like an Alice in Wonderland quote.
Alice in Wonderland. Wow. When did I say that? No. You know, people say all the time, or a lot of times they'll say, "That's it's just so hard serving God. It's just so hard doing the will of God." No, it's not. We have to back up or step forward into that scripture. It's not I that lives. It's Christ that lives in me. The scriptures say, Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That word rest means freedom from struggle, contention. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest to your soul. When it's so hard to do what God's telling you to do, you're thinking about it wrong. You're going about it wrong. It shouldn't be, and it isn't difficult to do what God tells us to do, or then it's by works, lest any man should boast. Now, here, back towards the will agenda, when people say, God, your will be done, and it's so hard, what we're really doing then is we're not asking for God's will to be done. We're asking for God's approval on our will and trying to get that done. And that's where the struggle comes in. When you surrender to the will of God, he works his wonder through you. Because remember, it's not my will, so I don't have to do it. It's his will, and he does it in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you're trying so hard and it just seems impossible, step back and say, I must be doing right, wrong. It's right what I want done, but I'm trying too hard. I'm relying too much on what I'm able to do. And I'm thinking because I can't fix the repair or do what needs to be done, that it's not happening. Trust in the Lord. Lean unto God, not in your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your might, with all your heart, and he will bring it to pass. So when it seems so hard, you're doing right, wrong. It's easy to do the will of God because God's will is being done in you. Doesn't mean there aren't certain things you go and you just feel like, wow, this is a labor of love. Well, labor in your love. Yeah. Sometimes, again, it's just us trying to get over our will and trying to get it done the way we think it needs to be done. If you trust in God, he'll work his will in you. And it's just, you don't have to sweat. He did that for us. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. Trust him. Trust in his sweat. Trust in his love, trust in his blood, and he'll bring it to pass.
Because, that brings up the thought, there's a difference between something being hard and doing hard work.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, you could do something you love that's hard, whether that's a sport or some hobby or activity that's hard to do, meaning that you have to work hard to accomplish it, lifting weights or whatever, but that doesn't make that it's hard.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing it being a challenge to do that you enjoy. I mean, you're playing sports, you enjoy, or you're a fisherman, you enjoy, or you skateboarding, or whatever it is. You know, you fall, but you get back up and do it, not because you have to, but you just enjoy what you're doing. You like working with your hands. You try, it's too short, it's too long. You know, that old saying, measure twice, cut once. It's labor, but it's not laborious. It's not too hard. It's so hard, you know, when you take on that attitude, it's so hard to serve God, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. No, it's so easy to trust God and watching God work through you and working fervently serving the Lord. But it's a joy to serve the Lord when you know you're doing the will of God because the will of God is being done through you. Yeah. And then it's not you sweating to make it come to pass. Because here's a negative impact of believing that way, the resolve or the outcome of thinking it's so hard is that you don't do it.
Yeah.
And you just go, this is beyond me. And you give up and you lose faith because you're saying, it's just so hard, I can't do it. I just can't do it. God never asked you to do what you can't do. He told you to believe in what he has done and what he will do through you. And if that requires some effort, we put effort into getting up in the morning sometimes. I mean, there's some mornings it's just harder to get up than it is. We love to eat, but sometimes to prepare a meal is
sure.
It takes some effort. But you certainly enjoy the outcome. And you certainly, you know, if you're a chef, you enjoy, you know, I love people to be around people that love doing what they do. It's another thing to be around someone that's doing something because they have to do it.
Absolutely.
And it's hard. Find the thing you love. Find the word you love. Find the God you love, his way. Seek him. Lay your will down. God, not my will, your will be done. And no matter how hard or how much you work, I should say, at it, it's not hard. It's not laborious. Seek me, he said, and you'll find rest to your soul. Come to me, all you that labor. It's not the laboring part, it's the heavy laden. When doing right seems too hard is the key word. You're doing right, wrong.
Amen. Absolutely. It's not about the kingdom being revealed to you. It's about the kingdom being revealed through you.
Yeah, well, and again, it's those are tying into what we've been talking about, and it's just that root system that's connected to the vine. We so often tell God, prove what you said is true, prove your word is true, and in reality, we doubt God. We doubt that His word is true. You can doubt His word is true because what we're saying is prove to me. And God's saying, it's not about saying the kingdom is here or lo, the kingdom is there. The kingdom of God is within you. It's not looking for the kingdom of God to prove itself to you. It's about the kingdom of God proving itself through you. And that only happens when you surrender yourself under the mighty hand of God. And again, that faith that's in your heart says, God, what you said, your word, it's true in me. Your kingdom abides in me. And whatever is taking place, your kingdom is working a wonder through me. It's not about what the kingdom does for you. God's not servant to our needs. He's Lord of our purpose. It's about what the kingdom manifests through you. And again, in the most trying times when you feel pruned or you feel that season of drought, remember, God's doing something so incredible within you. The kingdom of God is being manifest when you can't see with your eyes what you're believing God to do. But nonetheless, it is most certainly being done through you and in you. And it makes it, this is the greatest season of my life.
Man, that makes me think of the when the Bible talks about the angels look on at man in a sense of awe and wonder because they see God. So they see the kingdom. They see their experience as one of seeing the kingdom happen visually on the outside, but yet they think of us as being in a much higher place because we appropriate it by faith through the inside.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and again, Jesus said, only by faith can you please me. And our creation, the creation God made, and you have to think about it, if heaven, I've said this many times, if heaven was everything that God wanted, if that was the fullness of everything He wanted, He would never have made the earth. Because the Word says everything God creates, He creates for His purpose and for His pleasure. So earth's creation was for a purpose and for His pleasure, okay? And if all the angelic hosts in all the grandeur and the glory and the splendor and the wonder that they are, if they were all the creation, the living creation that God wanted, He would never have made man in the earth. Again, He created all things for His purpose and for His pleasure. They were and are created. So God is manifesting through us things just like certain things in heaven we don't see. Mm-hmm. But God is manifesting things through us, His creation, by faith. We have a different kind of faith than heaven does. Heaven doesn't, the angels don't have to have the faith we have in order to see God. The Word says they stand in His presence, they stand in His glory. Well, we believe into His presence, we believe into His glory. But again, that's an internal mechanism, an internal working of God, that God is working within us. So the Word says the angels desire to look into the things that God is manifesting through us by that one thing that Jesus said pleases Him, faith. So just like we're saying, man, I wonder what's going on in heaven. Heaven's saying the same thing. I wonder what's going on in there. What is God? How is God revealing Himself through that incredible virtue called faith in mankind? So yeah, what a gift.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
See, one mind, one accord.
one accord. This is a good one. If you don't prove your faith, life will.
Yeah, well, I've said a long time, if you'll drive yourself to your knees, you won't be driven to your knees. And that's something the Lord taught me because, you know, after a lot of challenges because you realize you're making decisions that just were too anxious, not really directed to the Lord, but more directed by want and desire, you end up hitting being driven to your knees a lot. Yeah. And God told me, if you drive yourself to your knees, if you ask me, if you seek me, I can keep you from learning one way and teach you the same thing another. And it's the same thing. So what was the question again?
So the quote was, if you don't prove your faith, life will.
If you don't say, this is the greatest season of my life. Yeah. This is how it's going to turn out. Only good can happen to me. Something really great is going to take place. Then the earth will tell you what's going to happen. The world will say, this is what you're about to experience now. What are you going to do about it? So meet it before it meets you. You know, I get up every day and I say, something great is going to happen today because God, you are great and you are greatly with me. You lead me and you guide me in the way that I should go. So the earth isn't telling me, this is what you're going to have to believe, this is what you're going to have to appropriate your faith for. This is what you're going to, I don't want the world to tell me what I have to have faith for. I want God to tell me mm-hmm. what he wants me to believe for.
Is that kind of similar, maybe the other side of the coin is something you've been talking a little bit about lately during services of your faith in the and your approach and your attitude to certain things can actually keep you from having to go through certain circumstances.
Absolutely. Your faith can take the place of a trial.
Yeah, that's
an exactly. onset of something you just believe in God. I mean, there's so many things in the world. We can be such a blessing to so many people. We can do more than overlook things that might frustrate us. We can look so far beyond it that we see something in place of it. For instance, someone does something and it's just frustrating to you and you say, they always do that. You know, they're always disappointing. Instead of looking and say, you know what, I wonder if I can minister to them. I wonder if I can meet, if I could be an instrument, meet a need. You know, it would be, it's going to pull on my faith, my resources, my time, but I'm going to exploit my areas of faith and ability to do. I'm going to explore and see or explore what I can do, what I can bring to pass. Let's see if I can make a difference. And you challenge yourself by faith. So you're literally taking the place of something that could have happened that would have said, come on, it's time to use faith. And you're saying, come on, it's time to use faith. And it puts you more in control, taking dominion like God wanted Adam wow. and Eve to take dominion over the earth. It's a powerful, it certainly changed my perspective in life. And you know, you end up having the opportunity to live more of the life that you're believing you should live because you basically you're taking charge by faith.
Wow. Yeah. So many of the people who frustrate us in life, you know, the we could be there to eliminate the causes in their own life that are creating the frustration if we're willing to draw on God's love, faithfulness, and really and willingness to step out and approach it versus stepping back and letting that chaos or whatever exist.
Absolutely, it does. It does two things. Number one, it may bring a change into their life. It's right. an expression of God's love from you to them, but it also does something powerful in you. It makes you look away from who you are. You yeah. become an offering. The offering God wants is the offering you are. There you are again. You're becoming yeah. an offering. You're saying, hey, I want to present myself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. I'll sacrifice some of my time. I want to give an offering of who I am. Instead of wanting them to make me happy, I wonder if I could be the instrument to bring a little joy into their life. Seems kind of small and minimal, but it's huge because it changes our perspective of what we need. Also opens up another window, and we begin to see all that God's doing and things that we could do even more to facilitate what God is wanting us to see and know and be aware of. That makes us more inclined to engage yeah. with what God's already put around us instead of ignoring it, like Christ is in the earth and no one really sees him for who he is, but the ones that acknowledge him for the power that he is, the centurion soldier, speak the word only. Look at the difference. The woman that reaches up and by faith lays her life on the line and touches the hem of his garment and virtue flows into her. When a lot of other people are touching him and maybe getting a different result than, mm-hmm. than she did because she put her life on the line. She literally became an offering herself. Because she, in the state she was in, she was considered unclean. You just didn't do. But her faith said, breach tradition and believe the word of God. And she was in control of that moment. And the word says that Jesus turned and said, who drew virtue? Who drew, I felt virtue. He literally said, who touched me? And the disciples said, well, a lot of people are touching you. He's saying, no, I don't mean who's putting their hands on me. I'm saying someone touched me. And virtue went out of me, and it was the woman. And, you know, she was humble. She was, you know, she was feeling a lot of emotion and felt unworthy, but her faith drove her beyond her ability to, you know, to make herself just, or I'm ready, or I'm prepared, or I can present myself because I'm, you know, really in a great position to do that. She came in a very humble state, but her faith exceeded her inabilities, and she reigned and ruled, and God did a wonder in her. It's the same thing when we go beyond what we want someone to do for us, and we have trust in who they are, the centurion soldier. I'm not worthy. You know, it's really not about me. It's about my servant. and it's about the power of your word. Speak the word only. And Jesus said, I've not seen so great a faith. It's amazing how when we look beyond us, when we make ourselves a bit of a sacrifice, how powerful we really are through Christ and Christ in us.
Wow. Wow. We can't figure it out, but we can find it out.
Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened. We sit there and try to justify or try to figure out why something is or why something isn't. And the answers for a believer shouldn't come based on, you know, the sum of our knowledge, our skill, our study, but really reliant on what God is saying to us. You know, I can't figure this out. Can't figure out why God would do this. I can't figure. But if you seek God, God, I'm not even telling you or asking you to answer my question. I'm asking you to tell me what you want me to know. Put in my heart, put in my mind what you would have me to know at this point in my life, whatever it is you're going through, maybe going through a trying time or whatever, and you just can't figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. Find it out. Seek, and you will find.
It seems like so many of the parables, whether the man goes and finds the treasure buried in the field, or just again, knocking the door will be open, seekers will be fine. It's like we shouldn't be surprised that there is some sort of obstacle that exists from our knowing or our having or whatever. It seems like it's all there on the purpose to get us to have that motion, take that action of discovery.
That's why I say, I say it like this, and you have to understand where I'm coming from. I like to blame God for everything. And what I mean by that is, instead of saying it was their fault or their, I just believe my steps are ordered of the Lord. And if God has allowed me to encounter something, it's because he's in it, doing something. I'm not saying he's doing anything bad or evil or wrong. God is good. When a man is tempted, let not that man say, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempts he any man. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, is whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. But I believe God is in every aspect of my life because I love him, I seek him, I serve him. That's how we should believe. And then to the wonder sometime of our amazement, God shows us, I really was in the middle of that. Look and see what I've done. And it turns out to be the greatest season of your life. Even looks like when it looks like it's the greatest storm you've ever faced.
Yeah. That's so great, because that's actually the last quote for today is, this is the greatest day, or this is the greatest season in your life.
Well, what
does that mean?
Greatest day of your life. You know, it's a stand of faith. You have to believe something. And according to your faith, the word says, be it unto you. And, you know, there's times people say, man, how could you say this is the greatest day of our lives? How can you say that only good will happen to me? I'm certainly not saying that I've looked at every day of my life and went, wow, this was just so stellar, so amazing, so easy to just breeze through. I've had challenges like anybody else have been challenged, but I found in John where Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest, and just decided I'm going to believe the word of God. I'm just going to come to him and trust that he's going to bring it to pass. And the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah, well, you've wanted for this. No, I'm not going to look at what I've lacked in my mind or what I've needed. I want the word of God to take premise in my life. I want it to take the authority of what I believe. I want the word of God to be my foundation. I'm going to doubt my experience and believe the word of the Lord. Mm. That's what I choose to do. So if anything is going to change the outcome, because it's not always the beginning of the race that's important. It's the outcome. I mean, the beginning, a good start in a race is a big deal, because you don't have to catch up. But sometimes that catch up makes you stronger. It makes you focus more. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quieted waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, and that can be correction, instruction, direction, comfort me. You anoint my head in the presence of my enemies. Mm-hmm. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Only goodness and mercy will follow me. Only good will happen to me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a position that establishes my foundation.
So you're actually just quoting scripture.
I'm quoting the Word of God. Everything I believe is the Word of God. It's a revelation to me as to what God is saying to me personally. And I internalize it, make it mine by the Word of God, and say, as He is, so am I in this world, according to His Word. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the greatest season of my life. Only good can happen. And I will say of the Lord, You are my shield, my God. You are my comfort, my strength. You are my God. And in You, I fully trust. Yeah. It's a foundation to stand on now and forevermore.
Yeah.
And I guess we say, Selah.
Selah.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Absolutely. I think we got through 10 of there's 4,990 left in the in the Quote Fest 5,000 session one. So I don't know when we'll be back to this, but keep checking if this is your jam. We'll get you some more of this.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for joining us today in Pulling on Heaven 24/7. And what we're doing is we just keep pulling on the Word of God, the Kingdom of God. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. And when you're living by faith, whether you see what you want coming to pass or not, know God is revealing in you what He wants you to see. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. This is, by the way, the greatest season of your life. God bless you. Until next time.